If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Boy, I've been looking forward to this moment. It's been a month since I have chatted with my, well, I'd say good friend now, Lindsay Perigo. The last Perigo's Perspective was just over a month ago. And I'm so happy to welcome Lindsay back on the program with his perspective on things again. I've been looking forward to it. Lindsay, great to, well, I can see you, but hear from you again.
Well, I'm so happy and reassured that you're happy. I thought you must have jilted me. I thought, where is he? Why isn't he phoning?
I woke up and it was like you were gone.
Why am I not getting that infernal weekly phone call?
No. So, yeah.
Here we are. What an achievement.
What do you make of it? Because you've been around, man. You've seen a lot. What do you make of that?
Well, I guess I've had my share of programs that I was associated with that were canned, but usually they were canned in favor of something else, an alternative. For instance, going from Eyewitness News from 9:30 till 10 at night to Eyewitness News from 10 till 11, a whole hour,
right,
including extensive international news. That sort of change is positive. So I certainly haven't experienced anything like this, and I think it is quite remarkable. And I think the observation I've heard you make several times over the last few days, that this is historic, will turn out to be true. Just to go from having to stop to solicit money voluntarily from your supporters to get that money and to be back in the space of a month and secure for a reasonable period of time. That is remarkable.
Well, thank you for saying that. I want to get your view on this too. So when we went off air, there was quite a bit of coverage, and that obviously helped, I guess, spread the message of what we were doing, though some of the reporting of it was a bit loose, let me put it that way, and mildly. And there are a lot of people who were sort of rubbing their hands, you could tell. And they were in, some of them were in the mainstream media. So, all right, we come back with this historic comeback and not a mention, crickets, radio silence. Have they missed a big story?
Well, I think they have. They've missed an historic story. But how could it be that they'd want to tell that story when the other part of it is that they're going down? The funny thing, I actually thought the Q&A piece on RCR's demise, albeit temporary, was very fair.
Yeah.
And even-handed, and it didn't appear to me to be gleeful at all or to be tainted by the opinions of the presenter. And I thought, you know, if only they could get back to doing that routinely, they might not be in the position that they're in.
You mentioned that Eyewitness News change, and I remember actually I don't remember the change, but I remember the longer version of it that you have just mentioned, and I remember you fronting it, and not only that, but you know, having the guests doing the interviews, etc. Man, if that was on again, I'd be watching.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, every so often I get caught out on YouTube. One of these old programs appears, nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with it, but that's just somebody's got a channel devoted to things like Eyewitness News from the 1800s. So yeah. And it's quite scary because I'll suddenly see myself there on my screen.
And I think, younger you?
Oh, much younger. Unrecognizable. But you read the comments underneath, and it's people saying exactly that. Oh, why can't we get back to that? On the other hand, you do have some who say, God, they were boring, weren't they? A pack of boring old white males speaking like Englishmen.
Oh, that's whatever. But it was great viewing, and people knew stuff. People were informed, you know.
Yeah, and the peculiar part was that it always rated well, and I never could understand the drive that came from the more commercially orientated parts of TV to downplay or remove such programs altogether, as though they were the enemy. But in those days, reality TV was sort of coming into its own. It was all the rage, and it was the only thing the head of programming was interested in. So it was an uphill battle all the time. But it's good, actually, apart from the fact that it's scary to suddenly see yourself on one of those old programs, it's good that someone has archived them and made them available, and people can look back and see what it was like in the good old days.
And they were the good old days. Okay, it's great to have you back. People are sitting, waiting, ready. What's Lindsay going to be saying in his reboot, his comeback, which is part of our reboot and comeback? So let's find out. Lindsay, again, you thought you might have lost that floor. It's back here and it's yours.
Well, now, I was saying, if you recall, before being so rudely interrupted, that Hamza Yousaf should step down as Scotland's first minister in the wake of his odious hate crime legislation coming into law. J.K. Rowling, you might remember, had just challenged police to arrest her for offending trans Nazis by calling them men. They didn't arrest her, and he did step down. And I couldn't even come back on air to say, good riddance, most edifying and gratifying. Not necessarily a victory against woke fascism, though. The government survived a no-confidence vote, and the police have become the thought police after being flooded with complaints about hate speech from triggered snowflakes. Over 7,000, mainly anonymous, in the first week of that law coming into effect. Snowflakes Anonymous. We can therefore be sure we dodged a bullet here with the demise of Jacinda Jackboot and her odious proposed hate speech laws. But we cannot be complacent. She hideously lingers as an internet Nazi, courtesy of Christopher Luxon, who must be made to revoke that diabolical appointment. Where are you on that, Peters and Seymour? It has been salutary during the period we were off air to ponder anew the state of affairs we confront and how we got to it. We are seeing a cultural revolution not unlike that of Mao's China in the 60s, where hysterical, hypnotized youngsters rampaged against everything civilized. Sophie Roberts writes in The Lost Pianos of Siberia, I learned that Mao Zedong's widow, who was fond of piano music, didn't quite manage to save the instrument from its unpalatable Western reputation. During China's Cultural Revolution, the piano was likened to a coffin in which notes rattled about like the bones of the bourgeoisie. In 1966, Mao's Red Guards smashed instruments to pieces, raided music schools, and locked keyboards shut. Their campaign of terror drove soloists to suicide. Well, today's hissy fitters pull down statues, vandalize paintings, and, in the case of the woke professors, decry Western musical notation, believe it or not, often called sheet music, as racist. I quote from the Telegraph of March 27, 2021, quote, musical notation has been branded colonialist by Oxford professors hoping to reform their courses to focus less on white European culture. Academics are deconstructing the university's music offering after facing pressure to decolonize the curriculum following the Black Lives Matter protests. The Telegraph has seen proposals for changes to undergraduate courses in which some staff question the current curriculum's complicity in white supremacy. Documents reveal that faculty members who decide on courses that form the music degree have proposed reforms to address this white hegemony, including rethinking the study of musical notation because it is a colonialist representational system. Academics have also proposed that musical skills such as learning to play the keyboard or conducting orchestras should no longer be compulsory because the repertoire structurally centers white European music, which causes students of color great distress. Unquote. Oh, what bollocks it all is. And this, you may recall, was mirrored by the New Zealand School of Music announcing it had embraced only Black Lives Matter and was seeking to decenter whiteness in its curriculum. The point is, academia is the epicenter of evil in our time. How it came to be so is very usefully traced by Chris Rufo in his new book, America's Cultural Revolution, How the Radical Left Conquered Everything. It's a story too long to be told in its entirety here, but I'll quote a little from the preface of the book to give you its flavor. Quote, I have seen the hideous face of revolution. My first encounter was in Seattle, Washington, where I began my career as a political journalist. When I started reporting on the city's homelessness, Seattle's left-wing activists engaged in a relentless pressure campaign against my family, targeting our reputations, attempting to get my wife fired, publishing threats with our home addresses, and putting up menacing posters around my oldest son's elementary school. Their objective was simple: silence, marginalize, and suppress, all somehow in the name of tolerance and an open society. At the time, I thought of myself as a moderate, but that experience opened my eyes to the real nature of left-wing politics. It radicalized me. A few years later, when my reporting shifted to critical race theory, I discovered the same dynamic at a national scale. American institutions were playing the same cynical game, marshalling the forces of guilt, shame, and scapegoating in order to enforce a left-wing political orthodoxy. Government agencies were teaching that all white people are racist, public schools were separating children into oppressor and oppressed, Fortune 100 corporations were pushing the idea that the United States was a white supremacy system. Unquote. This garbage, ladies and gentlemen, is what is being spewed to you from academia via the woke fascist media and taken by mindless, indoctrinated zombie thugs to the streets, egged on by the nightly fake news, whose credibility now seems to be shot. Here, one nitwit news dump, along with stuff and all the rest, are struggling. It would be good riddance to them and their woke advocacy in lieu of journalism, their militant renunciation of objectivity and their smug, self-righteous dogmatism. Paul Goldsmith, don't you dare bail them out with taxpayer money. They're already awash in it, and they hold the taxpayer in utter contempt. They don't even allow comment on their articles and items online. Let woke fascist media rest in peace. Please, dear ladies of RCR, let us see again those banners in the sky. RIP woke media. If the woke media think they have something of value to offer, let them do what Reality Check Radio just did. They are what they call us, fringe. They're not mainstream common sense. They're infantile temper tantrum lunatics who squawk with the voices of two-year-olds, who will tell you men can get pregnant and throw a hissy fit if you disagree. They tell you that Maori myths are science. They claim a fake vaccine whose side effects include death is safe and effective. They include the Pfizer flatform, who call us nutters and cookers. They include the traitors who say we mustn't upset the unleashers of the Wuhan virus because those unleashers are our biggest trading partner. Real journalists might wonder and investigate if anyone here is being paid off by Communist China, Pfizer, Iran, or other dark money. Real academics would report honestly on what is happening in academia, like this one, very brave Cornell University law professor William Jacobson.
We have on our campuses and in our cities a marriage between the extreme left that wants to tear us down, that hates the United States, is anti-American, anti-Western, anti-capitalist, and the Islamists who hate America, hate Israel. So everything you're seeing is really a social contagion. You have highly ideologically motivated leaders, organizers, and you have a bunch of students who many of them, maybe not most, but many of them are going along because it's the thing to do. Hating Israel, hating the United States, chanting almost like cult-like phrases back and forth has captured a lot of the campuses. But this is a serious situation. It's the extreme left that wants to tear us down, almost Khmer Rouge, go back to year zero and start over, and the extreme Islamists who are worshiping Hamas who want to take us back to the 8th century. So this is really a wake-up call for this country, that what is happening now is not just a social contagion, it is extremely dangerous, and this marriage of the extreme left and the Islamists is not something that we've really seen before, and people need to recognize this is a serious situation.
That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. These contemporary Red Guards are funded by Soros, the most evil man on the planet, Bill Gates, the Rockefellers, et al. Quoting now from Politico, President Joe Biden has been dogged for months by pro-Palestinian protesters calling him Genocide Joe. But some of the groups behind the demonstrations receive financial backing from philanthropists pushing hard for his re-election. The donors include some of the biggest names in Democratic circles, Gates, Soros, Rockefeller, and Pritzker, according to a Politico analysis. Two of the main organizers behind protests at Columbia University and on other campuses are Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now. Both are supported by the Tides Foundation, which is seeded by Democrat megadonor George Soros, as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it in turn supports numerous small nonprofits that work for social change. Gates did not return a request for comment, and Soros declined to comment. Unquote. And so it goes, our contemporary Maoist cultural revolution, aided and abetted by the real pandemic of our time, cowardice. Oscar Wilde's words were never more true. Most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions. Their life is a mimicry. Their passions, a quotation. But I want to end on a note of triumph. Academia is being seen to be as ridiculous as it is vile, fake intelligentsia. Mainstream fake media, the print and broadcast arms of Labour and the Psycho Shoplifters Party are going down and taking their woke fascism with them. We are back, thanks to you, voluntary subscribers who value life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, who believe in live and let live, free speech, in the spirit of, I disagree with what you say, but defend to the death your right to say it. You have shown willing to put your money where your convictions are. You are magnificent. We haven't yet won, by any stretch of the imagination, but we're starting to win. No better way to celebrate our cultural counter-revolution than with the stirring conclusion to Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony in good old racist colonial sheet music.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.